A fourth round of wage negotiations have deadlocked. Public servants have not moved from their 7% wage increase demand, and government has not budged on its 0% stance either. The Public Servants Association has in the meantime launched a dispute. Astrid Al-Anani, who's chief labor relations officer at the PSA, joins us now on the sum of the on-the-ground perspective with regards to where things are at. Thanks so much, Astrid, for your time this evening. So we caught up with Claude Nyker at the PSA roughly 2 weeks ago, and he cautioned on how long you'd be able to restrain your members in this ongoing wage dispute with government. Are restraints pretty much worn thin at this point?
I think the restraints are absolutely thin. We are really trying to make ourselves available with the employer to try and resolve this matter. Today, the PSA was left with no option but to declare a dispute. We've already indicated that we are in dispute. We did not support the facilitation process, but we've convinced ourselves and our members that it might be another vehicle for us to reach that agreement as soon as possible. Unfortunately, it didn't yield the results, and we had to file our papers today.
Yeah, of course, we know that we've got government sticking to its 0% wage increase stance. You've got the PSA holding on to that 7%. Are we looking at a case, Astrid, of, when you move, I'll move?
I think the PSA, during the facilitation process, it is a process without prejudice. So you will obviously give up more or less everything that you have, hypothetically speaking, in order for the other party to also make that movement. It is just a pity that there was no facilitated or at least an offer or revised offer on the table during the beginning of the facilitation process for us to start that give and take engagement process. And it's unfortunate that before anything could be tabled, that we had to realize that this is just wasting further time. It's just bringing us closer to the Constitutional Court matter, and therefore we have to follow the next route. And that is the dispute process.
How much compromise are you and your members willing to make on this?
We are not oblivious to the current circumstances that we find ourselves in. It was for this reason, even during the facilitation process, where we hope to direct more where funding can come from, to look at what can be made available and what would be fair. Your opening offer is usually a huge offer, but it does not necessarily mean that that is what you are going to stand on until the end.
Yeah. I asked the question because, there has been significant warning of what raising workers' salaries above inflation amidst a deteriorating economic scenario and a deteriorating fiscus could mean down the line. How much of that risk have you factored into the equation?
We have also studied on whether there has really been that huge increases over the years, and if it has really been that significantly above what inflation provides. We all know that there's only certain goods that's within that basket, and also on most of these key issues or goods that is affecting the pockets of public servants are not necessarily factored into when you determine that type of inflation. So for us, we believe that there's a broader aspect to look at it. The salaries is still market related. We cannot understand that an increase in a benchmarking process that set a salary band is now suddenly regarded as a bloated or displaced. It just does not make sense. And the system that we are using was the employer's equate system, developed, managed, run by the department. So it cannot be that it became distorted.
Yeah. How much of the demand you've tabled, Astrid, has been tabled against what's playing itself out in the private sector, for example, where, you've got private sector not seeing any significant wage increases, if any, during the past year as a result of tough economic conditions and the extent to which that has shifted the rules of engagement?
We believe that we our when we place our demands, we are looking at key cost of living issues for public servants, but we also look at what the market have been moving around for the past few years. So the figure that has been set is not necessarily way much higher than what is usually determined during the private sector negotiations and determination. I think it's more or less that it reached that, if you want to call it equilibrium, but it does maintain, in our view, a healthy balance between what is offered in the private sector as well as in the public service. It has never been disjointed or standing out completely different to cause any abnormality.
Astrid, what happens if job increases come at the expense of job cuts? What happens then?
We do not believe that we are there yet. I think we are talking about a need within the public service also to increase on the staff component that's currently there. The population has increased over the years. The size of the public service in actual fact has decreased. There's posts and vacancies over the past years that has not been filled. And all of those functions had to be transferred to the rest of the members who were still in service. It led to overtime, excessive overtime, worker fatigue, and it creates an impression as if there is no proper service delivery whilst workers are actually overcommitted in the functions that they have to perform. So it cannot be that there is a disjunction.
Let's leave it there. Astrid, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Chief Labour Relations Officer of the Public Servants Association, Astrid Al-Anani.